Better see if that door is open. Brother Wade's going to open it for you. All right. So chapter 3 is 22 verses, so we can do 7 apiece, okay? All right. Chapter 3 of 1 Peter 1 through 22. Go ahead, brother.
It says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands,
that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
Thank you, brother.
Finally, be ye of all one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise a blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if he be followers of that which is good? But and if he suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled.
Thank you, brother.
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversations in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherewith few, that is, 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure, whereunto even baptism doeth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Finish it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels, authority, and powers being made subjection unto him.
Amen. Thank you, sister. All right, so that's our reading for tonight. So our passage we're going to be preaching out of is 2 Peter chapter 1. So to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. As we do every Wednesday, we get it all in one day. We have prayer just a minute. We have preaching in just a few moments. We have the Bible reading. We have the fellowship. We have the singing. We do it all in one night. So, man, if you're a Christian, and you love God and His Word and His people, you're going to find Wednesday night's going to be a good night for us. I love Wednesday nights because we get the whole ball of wax. Amen. All right, let's stand to our feet tonight in honor of God's Word. And we'll begin reading here. We started a series called Growing in the Faith, or Growing Up in the Faith. And tonight, again, we're going to be talking to Christians and about how to grow in the faith, how to grow up. And so we make sure that we understand that so that we do grow. Here in verse 1 of chapter 1 is 2 Peter. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus tonight. We're asking for help, for guidance, for leadership. God, we pray tonight, Father, that you'd have your way in our hearts and lives. Father, I ask you, God, tonight, convict us of our sin. God, draw us unto thee tonight. God, I know that the Scripture has said in these verses, God, you have given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. Lord, that we would live a holy and a godly life before you. God, may our worship tonight be pleasure to you. May our singing tonight, dear God, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. May our fellowship be sweet. God, I pray tonight, God, that you encamp about us. Open our eyes and hearts. Change us for the glory of God. In Jesus' name we'll pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And so last week, we talked a little bit about the virtue. The Bible talks about there in that verse 5, he says, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. So we're talking to Christians tonight. We find that to be so by verse 1 says that he's speaking to them that have obtained like precious faith. And so we understand that the Scripture's context is to the church. Peter here, he's in jail. Peter in verse 14 is telling us, he says, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. He's telling us he's about to die. And so Peter's in his last days. He might be in his last hours. He's writing his last book. And in this book he's given to the church. He's been a pastor for 30 years now. And so he has given some understanding to us that we need to add to our faith if we're going to grow. Now, God didn't save you. God didn't make you alive. You were dead in sins and trespasses when you got saved. And God made you alive by the way of the Holy Ghost of God. But you know and I know anything living grows. Anything that's alive tonight changes. Nothing stays the same. Everything progresses. Everything moves forward that's living. And so tonight, we want to talk a little bit about that growth. How do we become more like Jesus? How do we become more of that Christian that God would have us to be? And so this is something tonight that it's a part of you. And it's something that you can do. It's something that you are responsible for. God's responsible to save you. Now it's your responsibility to grow. And tonight you must put some effort and energy into this growth period of being a Christian. God's not going to make you come to church. God's not going to make you read your Bible. God's not going to make you pray. God's not going to make you do right. God's not going to make you say, I'm sorry. God's not going to make you not go about out here and sin and be evil and do the things that this world will require of you. God's not going to do any of that for you. Somewhere in your Christian life, you got to decide that that's what I'm going to do. And so this is what this is all about tonight. Let's start tonight. I want you to notice kind of in a recap of last week, and then we'll move forward. But I want you to notice the people of faith. There's a bunch of people out there, but there's very few that are of faith. The Bible says that there are few that are saved. The Bible teaches that there is a wide, huge huge gate that many go through. But then there's a small, little, narrow path that only few go in. And so tonight, we understand the Bible. We understand what Jesus is saying, that not all is saved, not all do believe, not all are born again. But those that are born again, they're called the people of faith. And so I like that thought tonight. October 30th, 1988, I became a person of faith. Prior to that, for 25 years, I was a person of non-faith. Even though I professed to be Christian, even though I acted in some ways Christian, there was no Christianity about me. But that day, I became a person of faith. And so tonight, what is the people of faith? Well, in verse 3, the people of faith are those that are given divine power. Divine power. You read that there. It says, according as His divine power. It says His divine power. Talking about God's divine power. And who is God's divine power? It's the Holy Ghost. And according to His divine power, according to the Holy Ghost of God, the Bible says He has given you two things. Number one, He has given you everything to all things that pertain unto life. So God, is through the Holy Ghost of God, has given you the ability to live a life that is a human life. Live a life that is a physical life. The Holy Ghost of God has given you everything you need to be who you need to be. And then secondly, it says that He has given us all things to pertain unto godliness. And so we find that this divine power, the Holy Ghost of God, that now will cause you, bring you to the place of living a human life, but then living a spiritual life. And so everything that God has done through us by the way of the Holy Ghost has given us that power, divine power. So there's nobody in this room tonight or anybody listening to our message tonight that says that they're saved and born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, have repented of their sin, received Christ as their Savior, who's been born from above, been born of the Spirit, tonight has been washed in the blood of the Lamb tonight. You have everything within you called the divine power, the Holy Ghost of God, for you to live this life and to live a spiritual life. Everything. Do you believe that? It's in the Bible. Amen. So number two, the people of faith are not only given divine power, but the people of faith are given divine nature. Look there in verse 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. And so now there's a nature about us. The nature tonight is given to us by the great and precious promises. That's the Word of God. That's how we know of the nature that we are of. Tonight, when you're born of your mother, you're born of a human nature, right? And so that means that because of that human nature, you're going to live a certain way. But now when you get saved and born again, you get that power of divine, the Holy Ghost. And now because of the Lord Jesus Christ in His written word, the precious and great promises, you're going to find that you're going to have divine nature. This nature is this Bible. This Bible is your nature. You say, well, how am I supposed to live? Here's the Bible. That's your nature. How am I supposed to react? The Bible, that's your nature. How am I supposed to respond? The Bible, that's your nature. And so that's what this power is all about. That's what this nature is all about. We find that it is neither the Word of God, but the will of God. The Bible says in verse 4, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So you haven't escaped the corruption of this world by your own will. It was by the will of God that you've done that. The only way you and I can ever escape the corruption of this world, the damnation of this world, the condemnation of this world, is because of Jesus Christ and Him alone. And so He's the Word, and tonight He's the living Word, and He is the written Word. We find that to be true throughout the Scripture. So we find divine power and divine nature. I'd say thirdly tonight, that we're the people of faith because we've been given divine power and divine nature. We've been given divine order. Look there in verse 5. This is the order that we have received from the Lord, who is divine. He says this in verse 5. Besides this, besides the divine power and besides the divine nature. He said, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And so now you have an order from God to add to your faith. It's not an option. It's not a multiple choice. It's not something whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it, or something that you might want to do, you might not want to do. That's not at all the Scripture's context. The Scripture's context is this. I saved you, and you have the divine power now to pertain to all life and godliness. And also, you have the divine nature because of the living Word and the written Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now my orders to you as a Christian is to add to your faith. And so that's an order by the Lord. And so that word giving there, if you look at verse 5, giving, that means a contribution besides faith. So if we read it in the context, it says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. The word giving means you've got to make a contribution. What does a contribution mean? Well, contribution means something. If you say Sunday morning or tonight you want to give a $5, $1, you want to make a contribution. So you take a dollar, put it in here, and say, I make a contribution. In the same way is about our faith. The Bible says that you got to add to your faith virtue. So you're going to have to make a contribution. In order for virtue to be part of your life, you have to add it. Now, what is virtue? Virtue is moral excellence. Virtue is having strength to do right. Listen, tonight, again, God isn't going to make you do right. You're going to have virtue to do right. You got to add that to your faith. You got to come to the place and say, you know what? Jesus means more to me than a drug. Jesus means more to me than pornography. Jesus means more to me than. I'm going to have a life of moral excellence. I'm going to live a proper life according to the Scripture. I've made my mind up. I am determined to do that. I am going to do as God asked me to do. That's virtue tonight. And so we find tonight, you got to add that to your faith. And so we see it, a contribution. Hey, that word diligence there, it means a corporation. In other words, you're going to cooperate with the divine power and cooperate with the divine nature, Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost of God through His Word, and you're going to cooperate with them. As the Spirit of God convicts you, you respond. And as the Spirit of God moves you, you respond. I give you an example tonight. And, of course, I'm going to use me as an example, and I'm not a very good example, but it's one that's just recently happened like a while ago. I was over there in my office, and I've been studying since about 4 o'clock today. And so there's a crowd of people next door to us that's, I guess, their children's over there in the dancing, cheerleading facility. And they got these chairs like they're tailgating. And so they're all in a circle, and they're just laughing and talking, and men and women. And man, they're having just a good old time. Well, that went on for about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. So I got through studying, and I'm sitting there, and the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, go tell them. I said, Lord, what do I say? I mean, there's like 15 of them. And when you go talk to 15 people at one time, that's a difficult situation. And so I said, Lord, I'm just going to I think about that. He said, go tell them. I said, now, I'm not saying God told me, like, verbally, like, you talk to me, okay? Don't think I'm wacko here. He's not telling me in a voice, like, coming from somewhere, like, God, I hear your voice. It's not like that. It's within me with a stirring in my heart, and I know the stirring is, go tell them. And so I said, okay, I'll do that, but I'm going to wait for Brother Keith. He never shows up. So it's getting late. And the Lord says to me in that persuasion, go tell them. I picked up my cards. The cards is back on the table, back up there. It's about our church. And So I'm contemplating, how am I going to begin a conversation with 15 people who's sitting next to the church that really don't care to come to church? And so as soon as I'm walking, I'm praying, saying, God, you got to do something with this situation. I'm going to get in the mix of this thing. I don't know what's going to happen. Church is going to start in about 20 minutes, probably a bad timing. You know, maybe next time. I'm walking. I finally get to my destination. I say to all of them, and they all at this point look at me. And they're all looking at me. And I said, I had to come over here because I haven't heard so many people laughing and so many people so happy in the midst of COVID, in the midst of all our troubles and difficulties of our lives. And man, I just want to come over here and give y'all an invitation to come to church. Man, it worked so smooth. They said, sure. Everybody had their hands out like little birds looking for a worm. I gave everybody a card. I said, man, I'd love to invite y'all to church. Oh, yeah, y'all having Bible study tonight with catfish? That's what they asked me, with catfish. I ain't got no catfish, but I got a Bible study going on. All right, thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's very nice of you to come over here and ask us to come to church over there. And we drive by here all the time. And I said, yeah, I said, me and Rocky's the owner. I said, me and Rocky, you know, we made an agreement about y'all coming through our church and parking here. We appreciate that. Hey, it worked out smooth. No problem. I said, at least go to our website, you know, and listen to the preacher. I didn't tell them I'm the preacher. I don't tell people that kind of stuff. So I said, let's at least go listen to the preacher, you know, and yeah, we'll do that. All I'm saying tonight is that's a corporation that I had to be corporated with the divine power and divine nature. Amen? In order for me to have any virtue tonight, I had to corporate with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. But not only did I have to contribute and corporate, but there's a combining. Look at the word add, verse 5. Add. What does that mean? That means to fully supply. That means to aid and furnish. So in other words, God says this. God says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And when you get saved, it's by grace are you saved through faith. Right? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I get saved because God gave me faith. And when I put the faith that God's gave me into Christ, I am born again. And now I'm saved and secured. I'm going to heaven. I'm a child of God. But now I'm under orders to add to that faith. He's not done with me. Christian life is not over. Just because you get saved doesn't mean, okay, not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. If that's the case, he would have saved you and killed you. Why would he let you live longer if the mindset is, Lord, I'm just glad I'm not going to hell? He would just take us on out. Why would he leave? There's more of an importance of your life than just to get saved and do nothing with it. Now you're responsible to grow. And if you are alive, guess what will happen? You will grow. If you are saved tonight, you will add. And we're going to see that in here in just a minute. So you'll furnish and add to your faith. We're not talking about salvation. That's already done. We're talking about growth. We're talking about becoming or increasing. Abounding. Can I say number two? That's the people of faith. But I'm going to talk about the possibility of the faithful. There is a possibility tonight. I want you to look there in verse 8. He says, for if. Anytime there's the word if, it could be a hypothetical, right? I mean, it could be a possibility. If. If you go in the street, you might get hit. Possibility? Right? If you drink turpentine, you might die. Possibility. So there's a possibility here. It says, if these things be in you. Now, what things is he talking about? He is talking about, you go back up now to verse 5. He says, add to your faith. So you got to have faith in you. Virtue. So you got to have virtue. And he says to virtue, knowledge. So you got to add knowledge. And then he says to knowledge, temperance. And then to temperance, patience. And patience, godliness. And godliness to brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, charity. But if these things be in you. And so he's saying, if you are adding, if you are growing, if you are cooperating and contributing and combining and fully supporting and aiding and furnishing your faith, he said, this won't happen to you. This is exciting because the majority of people are here. Look what it says. He says, and abound they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what's the requirement for me to be fruitful? What's the requirement for me to be not barren? Well, the first requirement is that in you, is faith and virtue and knowledge in you. That list of seven. Number two, are they abounding? That word abounding means increasing. They're super abounding. In other words, there's an effort on your part as a Christian that I'm going to super abound. I'm going to increase not my faith, but I'm going to increase on my faith. I am going to endeavor. I'm going to experience. I'm not just satisfied I'm saved. I'll be satisfied when I grow and I get to know Jesus more and I get to be part of His kingdom and part of His church and part of His ministry and I get to see my family get saved and my children come to know the Lord. I get to see the world in a different way, in a different mindset. Oh, listen, tonight it's all about you growing as a Christian and you got to come to a place or in the requirements is it in you? And are you increasing it? If you're not doing nothing tonight, then you can't grow. You may be saved, but you're a babe in Christ and you'll never be more than that tonight. And so we find the requirement. But number two, so what's the results if you have the requirement? Well, number one, that word barren there means unemployed. The word barren means inactive or lazy or useless or idle or slow. And God is saying, if you have this faith in you and you have all these seven graces and you'll find that you're abounding in them and you're super abounding and you're increasing and increasing and increasing each day, you become more and more and more and more. He says, you'll never be idle. You'll never be lazy. You'll never be barren. You'll never come to the place of being unemployed. You'll never come to the place where you just are at the side. You're inactive. See, I don't think tonight that a Christian can be happy being inactive. I don't think a Christian tonight who's sitting on the sideline, who's sitting on the bench and sitting over here watching everybody else do the work, watching everybody else live the Christian life, and you're just sitting over there going, Listen, there's no happiness and joy in you. I don't see any type of joy or happiness except in growth. I mean, you take children, for example, when they're 1 or 2 years old and they might have a brother 7 or 8 years old. They want to be like the brother, right? Then you see a 7, 8 year old see a teenager, and they start acting like the teenager. They're not trying to act like the 2-year-old anymore. They're trying to act like the 14-year-old. Then you get to 16, 17 years old, and you see a 25, a 20, 24, 25, and they say they want to be 24, 25. I can't wait to get out of school. Can't wait to get married. Can't wait to get my own job. Can't wait. But all of a sudden, no, boom, life hits them in the head. They get a job, and they get bills, and boy, they say, wow, I should like to go back home. Everybody's always looking forward. That's what growth is. And this is the same thing the Bible's teaching tonight. It's teaching that the results of you adding to your faith will be never barren. You'll never come unemployed. It means also to make you not unfruitful. The Bible speaks of unfruitfulness there in verse 8. Nor unfruitful. That unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, when you're growing, you're taking on the character of Christ. Always. The unfruitful. You'll not be unfruitful. You'll be fruitful because you carry on the conduct of Christ. You'll carry on the core of Christ. See, when Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. He's the King of your heart. He's the pep of your step. He's the delight of your day. Amen. I mean, it's about Jesus on Wednesday night. It's about Jesus on Sunday morning and Sunday night. It's about Jesus in the morning, how He let me through the night and how He's given me the day before me. It's about Jesus and His love and compassion and grace and mercy. It's about Jesus and His provision and protection and how He's going to keep me, how He's going to protect me through the way. It's about Jesus and His life and the way that I live. It's about the Lord Jesus tonight when you come and worship and sing. And boy, if you sing songs tonight and it don't have Jesus in it, them songs are not going to do your soul any good. It might help your flesh for a little bit, but then that'll turn bad in a while. But listen, if you hear something, you need to hear of Christ. Amen. When you come to the Word, come to the church, you don't come to hear about President Trump. You don't come to hear about George Washington. You don't come to hear about our military. You don't come to hear about Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. You come to hear about the God and about Jesus tonight. When we sing our songs tonight, we don't care about some little guy down on the river. He was sitting there in the fishing pole and he caught a big fish and this, that, and the other. We don't care about none of that nonsense. We care about Jesus, amen? That's what it's all about tonight. That's being fruitful. But listen, if you can't add, if you're not putting virtue, moral excellence to your faith, if you're not putting knowledge tonight, you can't tonight at all. You'll just be unfruitful and you'll just be barren. You'll be, tonight, you'll not be unfruitful, but you'll be unemployed. Can I say here thirdly in verse 9? He says, but he that lacketh these things, what things? Well, faith, virtue, knowledge, on and on. And on. He says, if you lack these things, is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He's not talking about being lost now. He's talking about being saved. But if you're not adding to your faith, you don't see afar off. That word afar off means you're blinded or you're short-sighted. In other words, tonight in life in which you're living right now, you don't see heaven. You just see all your problems. See, in life right now, you don't see what tomorrow can bring in Christ. All you see is the pain and suffering that others have brought to you. You're short-sighted. That's when you're not adding to your faith. You can't see. All you see is your little home. You don't see your next-door neighbor's home that they need Christ. You don't see the guy down the other street down there. You don't see the guy in the other subdivision that's on drugs and alcohol, pornography. The one who his wife just left him, he's got a broken heart. You don't see that guy because you're short-sighted. Oh, you're worried about your own relationship. You're worried about your own marriage. You're worried about your own children. You're worried about your own finances. You're just worried about your own church. You're just worried about your own little world you're in. That's what happens when you don't build on this faith. You become blind. When we take up an offering, say, okay, we're going to give to our missionaries all across the world so they can go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's a command by the Lord. You don't give to missions. You know why? You're short-sighted. You say, we talk about tithing. It's 10% of your income. You give $3, $4, $5 to the Lord. And you say, you know, that's all I can do. Short-sighted. You walk out of here in just a minute, you go get something to eat. And the person you talk to, you don't tell them about Jesus. You don't let them know, hey, I just went to church tonight. I just want to let you know Jesus loves you. You're short-sighted. You know, when you go to work tomorrow, we just go in and we go to work and we take our own money. How many times have we just said, thank you, Lord, for this strength? Thank you for the job. Thank you for the mental capacity. Thank you for the physical strength. Thank you, Lord, that I can have a job. And I have a car, and I have clothes on my back, and I have food to eat, and I can have a pillow tonight to lay my head on. See, short-sighted. And we wonder why we're miserable. We wonder why we're unhappy. We wonder why as Christians tonight, others over here and over there and over there, they seem to be so happy and so loving, and boy, when they come to church, they're so excited and think about God. You think, well, they're just fake. Well, they may not be fake. You're just dead. You're just short-sighted. Amen?
Have you ever seen people who always just get the breaks? You ever seen people, it just seems like everything they touch turns to gold? And you're over here working and struggling. Man, you're trying to do your best and you're trying to get it all done. You're trying to do everything you got with all your power, with all your strength. You're saying, man, Lord, I'm just wore out. And God's just trying to say, listen, when are you going to just add to your faith? I'll help you out along the way, but you're going to have to do more than. I mean, you go out and try to make a living is one thing, but praising God while you're making the living is another thing. Amen? I mean, we want to have relationships with people. We want to have marriages and children. But friend, all that has to be done right. You can't have children however you want. You can't live with somebody if you just want to. That's not how we work today. That's not what we're talking about in the Scripture tonight. If you want to fight God, then you're going to fight God living in sin. You're going to find yourself in trouble because God will win every battle. But He wants every Christian in here tonight to build, take their faith, and add to it. And if you lack it, He said, you're blind. You can't see afar off. Then look what He says. He said that you're going to forget that you've been forgiven of your sins. There's going to come a place in your life when your salvation just don't mean much to you anymore. You're saved, you're going to heaven, you know it, but it's just not a thrill no more. Jesus is not the thrust of your life. Church isn't something that important to you. You miss, it's okay. It's all right if you don't read your Bible that day. It doesn't matter if you pray or not at home. It doesn't matter if you gather up the children as a husband, a leader of your home, to gather up the wife and to gather up the children and bring them around the old altar of your home and cry out to God before them. Read the Scripture and let God's Word sanctify, separate them from this world. See, tonight, these are the things that you just throw off because you're blinded and you can't see afar off. You have forgotten that your sins have been forgiven. Oh, listen tonight, it's a danger in every Christian life if we're not adding virtue on top of virtue, knowledge. Can I say here, thirdly tonight as we wrap this up, the Bible talks about there in verse 9 about forgetting. You're going to forget the grace of God. You're going to forget the mercy of God. You're going to forget the love of God, the gift of God, the Word of God. It's a possibility tonight that you could be saved for a lot of years and never add to faith and never grow up to be what God would have you to be. It's a possibility. And so tonight, I pray that you not be part of that possibility. Here, lastly tonight, the privilege of faithfulness. Tonight, for you and I to be faithful to God, be faithful to church, be faithful to one another is a privilege. Verse 10, the Bible says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, talking to Christian, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So can I say, number one, you're saved by faith. Let's just make that clear tonight. You're saved by faith. In order to be faithful, you got to have faith. And so we find we're saved by faith. We've been called to be saved. We see that in verse 10. God's called you. If you're saved tonight, somewhere down the line, God called you. God drawed you unto Himself. God has spoke to your heart. He says to you, He says, come unto Me. And you came. So there was a calling. And then there was a choice, or you was chosen to be saved. All that just means is this. God calls you, and when you get saved, He chose you. Amen? That's what the election means. It means chosen. He hasn't chosen some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. He hasn't chosen that. He's called everyone, and those that come is who He's chosen. Does that make sense? We can't get this election all messed up and thinking that God sends people to hell and some people to heaven. That's not how God works tonight. So there is a, you're called by to be saved, you're chosen to be saved, and then there's a choice to be saved. When God calls you, He now is choosing you, and now you have to make a choice for Him. Right? Lord, I hear your call. I know you're choosing me to be your child. I receive that call. I receive Christ Jesus as my Savior. But as many as received him, he gave them the power to become the children of God, even to those that believe. John 1:12. And so tonight we find clear presentation that we're saved by faith. That's a privilege. And then we're secured by faith. Look at verse 10. He says, "For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Have you ever heard that before? Never fall? Do you want to fall? I mean, I don't believe anybody in this room tonight would walk out here and say, "You know what? I want to fall tomorrow. I want to stumble. I want to blow it. I mean, I just want to just mess it all up." I don't believe anybody in this room is that way. I believe everybody in this room, though, is, "I don't want to, but sometimes I do." Right? So how can we eliminate it? How can we come to the place and we have assurance, a security, that I will never fall? Well, this is what it says. It says, with diligence. The Bible says, diligence is effort and energy on your part. If you would be driven to add virtue, moral excellence to your faith, you won't fall. Is that true? That's true. If you get up in the morning and say, "Today I'm going to live right, be right, and do right," that's what you'll do. But if you get up and say this, "I'm just flesh, I'm just human, nobody's perfect, Jesus is the only one perfect, and so today I'm just going to go out and do my best," you're going to fall. You're already in the mindset that it's going to happen. But if you have the mindset, "Lord, I'm going to take the faith that you've given me, and I'm going to add virtue to it, moral excellence, and then I'm going to add knowledge to that." That's what the Bible says in verse 5, right? It says, "Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge." Knowledge. So how can I be secure in my faith? How can I not fall? Well, I can add virtue to my faith. But then secondly, I can add knowledge. And that's the message tonight, knowledge. Knowledge. Add knowledge. That's another drive, another pursuance. You know what? My daughter's come down from Missouri this week, and other day she said, "Dad, I got a craving for Mod Pizza." You ever eat Mod Pizza? A craving. This is what this would be. I've got a craving for knowledge. If I can add to my faith knowledge, a craving, diligence, you won't fall. How can you fall if you get up on Sunday morning and say, "I've got a craving for the Word of God"? Guess where you'll be? In the house of God. Sunday night, 6 o'clock, "I've got a craving for the Word of God. I got a craving to pray. In the morning, I'm going to pray. Hey, tomorrow evening, I'm going to read my Bible. I got a craving to do that. I got a craving to tell somebody about Jesus." I promise you tonight, you start telling people about Jesus, everybody's evil will leave. You talk about your friends you can't get rid of, and your influence of your friends, and the peer pressure, and all that stuff. Tell them about Jesus, they will leave. Right? I had a bunch of friends before I got saved. I have less friends I've ever had in my entire life. They're not turning me evil. If they're going to live evil, they don't come around me. Right? So I'm telling you, this is the Word of God, so right, so true. I have knowledge. I want knowledge. Drive knowledge. So what is knowledge? Knowledge is to know Jesus. Right? I mean, if you say, "Brother, I just want to know Jesus," I'm going to tell you, your life will be a lot better off. You can't know Jesus and get drunk. You can't want to know Jesus and smoke pot. You can't want to know Jesus and watch a romantic TV show when there's a bunch of sex. You can't watch Jesus. You can't want to know Jesus and watch somebody in a bar scene have a fight and beat up somebody. You can't do it. You can't want to know Jesus and cuss like a sailor. You can't want to know Jesus and steal and be bitter and be ugly and be unforgiving, be jealous. And listen, tonight, if your drive is to know Him adding that knowledge to that virtue tonight, you're not going to fall. Knowing Jesus. The word knowledge means to grow in Jesus. I've got a desire and drive to grow in Jesus. I don't want to back up. I don't want to be like I used to be. I don't want to treat others like I've treated them before. I don't want to be where I used to be. I don't want to be that person no more. I want to grow in Christ. You won't fall. Knowledge to show Jesus. Not only to know Jesus and not only to grow in Jesus, but to show Jesus. I want to show the world Jesus lives in me. I want to show them the light that God's put in me. I want to be the salt of the earth. I want to be the ambassador of Christ. I want to be the soldier of the Lord. I want to be the bride of Christ. I want to be the body of Christ. You can't fall that away. I want to show Jesus. I want to know Jesus. I want to grow in Jesus. I want to go with Jesus. Where He goes, I want to go. I want to glow in Jesus. I want others to see me as I walk into a room. I want them to see the radiancy of my Lord. I want them to see the brightness of my Christ. I want them to see. Hey, friend, I'm going to tell you tonight, I have been around people, and so have you. I didn't know. But when they walked in the room, or when I came in the room, there was an immediate recognition. Something's different about that person. Have y'all been there before? Yeah. I want to be that person. Don't you? Don't you? I don't want somebody to come to me and say, hey man, you look like a good party animal. I don't want that. I don't want somebody, hey man, listen, if I'm going to go out and paint the town red, I want you to go with me. No. I want somebody to come to me and say, listen man, I don't know, but I hadn't heard you say a cuss word. I hadn't heard you laugh at one dirty joke. I haven't heard you say anything about somebody, like talking bad about them. Listen, I just know you just different. Yeah. That's adding virtue and adding knowledge. You won't fall. And then lastly, not only is it secured by faith, but it's supplied by faith. Look what he says in verse 11. For so an entrance, that means entering in, shall be ministered. That word ministering there means to be furnished or to be fully supplied. It says, unto the abundantly, into the everlasting, that means everlasting, eternal life, kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're going in because you know Him. You're entering in because you know Him. And you're going to enjoy it because you know Him. And you're going to stay there because you know Him. It's all about knowledge. And listen, this evening, we can say that Jesus saved me. I didn't save me. He saved me. It is Jesus tonight that I live for and I live to. It's Jesus that I'll get up in the morning and I will please and I will honor. And I will bring the world to know Him. It's Jesus, when I die, that I die with Him being honored in my life. It will be Jesus that I will meet at the pearly gates. It will be Jesus that I will spend eternity with. It will be Jesus that will give the rewards and the crowns. It will be Jesus on the judgment seat of Christ. It will be Jesus for all of eternity. Tonight, Jesus. The Lord and Savior. Amen? And friend, we find tonight that's supplied by faith. And if you can add to your faith, heaven is our home. Amen? You're already going there, but it gets sweeter and sweeter. It gets sweet whenever you add virtue, moral excellence. It gets sweeter whenever you add knowledge. And it gets sweeter as we go forth, and each Wednesday night we'll talk about a different word. Next week is going to be temperance. It gets sweeter. I like to say it like this tonight. It gets gooder and gooder. I don't think that's a word, but I sure like it. Amen. I pray tonight you're saved, and I pray tonight you're adding to your faith virtue and knowledge. Next week we'll talk about temperance, adding that. May the Lord bless you. I pray that tonight the Lord Jesus means all that to you. Serve Him, love Him, live for Him. He's so worthy. He's coming back someday. Amen? He's coming back to those of faith. Hallelujah. All right. Well, tonight, let's take some prayer requests and then we'll pray. Anybody tonight? Sister Sophia?